think this morning that we adequately demonstrated through the Word of God that it is a fact that the Holy Spirit dwells in us. The Bible is very plain about that. There can be no misunderstanding about that. But the bigger question that has to be discussed and the bigger question that has to be answered is, how is that accomplished? How does the Holy Spirit dwell in us? And this afternoon, for a few moments, I'm going to endeavor to show you from the Scriptures exactly how the Holy Spirit dwells in the believer. And so, it's not by incarnation. We discussed at the end of this morning's lesson that that was reserved for one person, and that was Jesus Christ. He was the only one to have the ability and to have the statement made that both deity and humanity dwelt in the same person. Now, there's a lot about that that I cannot explain. There's a lot about that that I can't understand, but I don't really need to understand it, because all I understand is that he suffered as a man. He was tempted in all ways like as we are, yet without sin, Hebrews 4:15. I know that he was God from the first verse in the Gospel of John, which says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." That's all I know about it. And I know that there are other parts of that issue that are very debatable, that are up to discussion. I understand that. But the basic premise is that he was both God and man, as clearly taught in the Scriptures, and we must accept both. And so we're not talking about incarnation. And we're not merely talking about omnipresence. There are some that take the position that the Holy Spirit is omnipresent, and that means he's always with us. He's always in us in a mystical and a mysterious way. It is true that he has the attribute of omnipresent because he is part of the Godhead. That's part of his attribute. And that's part of the attributes of those who are in the class of God. And so that is true about his divine attribute, but he's not in us in some mystical or mysterious way. We're not talking about miraculously. He's not in us in a miraculous way, and where he intervenes in our lives, and where he could cause and keep us from committing sin, or he can cause or keep us from going somewhere that would lead us into sin. There are those who believe that the Holy Spirit acts in such a way to intervene in our lives to keep us from sin. I would agree that the Holy Spirit does intervene in a way to keep us from sin, but I'd have to clarify what that means, and I'm going to demonstrate that in just a few moments of how he accomplishes that. But all of that is done through the Word of God. Now, brethren, this is a subject that if people are open-minded and they're honest, this will come ringing forth in the Bible. That the medium that God gave, the Holy Spirit, in order to do the work that God gave the Holy Spirit to do, is through the medium of the Word of God. That is the thing that he uses in order to accomplish his work. Now, turn with me, if you would, to Galatians chapter 3 and verse number 2. Now, the question is not, does the Holy Spirit dwell in the Christian, but how? Now, part of the how is faith. And that's why this verse is up here. "This only I want to learn from you, did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith?" Now, we need to acknowledge, and I think we understand, that the old law was a physical law. It had a physical presence. God gave them physical responsibilities. And there was a physical law that was written on tablets of stone. It was codified and given to them. And so that law was a very literal, physical law. But when we're talking about the law of Christ, and when we're talking about faith, we receive faith, it says, "Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith?" It is through faith that we receive the Spirit. You remember we read this morning in Ephesians 3, verse 17, that Christ dwells on us through faith. Faith is derived by hearing the Word of God. Now, I want you to take your Bibles and turn to to Ephesians 5, and verse 18 and 19. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 18 and 19. Now, you remember that the epistle, especially this particular epistle, was written to the church at Ephesus. So it's addressed to Christians. And so in verse 18 of this chapter, it reads, "And do not be drunk with wine, which is dispensation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord." You notice that it says to be filled with the Spirit. How is a man filled with the Spirit? In this context, he's filled in the Spirit by singing psalms, by singing spiritual songs in verse number 19. We also see in Colossians 3 and verse 16, which would be a parallel passage, we read in that passage, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord." And so what we see in these passages is to be filled with the Spirit is to let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. If you want to be filled with the Spirit, you have to be filled with the Word. There is no other avenue given by God that the Spirit can reside in the believer unless he has the Word of God in his heart. Now, it'd be nice to think that you could come here on every Sunday and on Wednesday and your head is like a cup and we can just pour it in there and it remains in there, and the more that you put in, the more that you have. That'd be great if that's the way it works. But the only way that the Spirit gets in us is if we do something in order for it to get in us. What do we have to do? We have to study. We have to learn it. We have to apply it in our lives. And we have to live it. And when we are living it, and when we apply it, and when we are following it and making application to it, you know what that is? That is the Spirit living in us. Now, I know the world doesn't like that, but that's exactly how the Bible tells us that it is accomplished. Now, to demonstrate this is true, and there's many ways you could do this, but what I want to do for just a moment is I want to show you what the Bible clearly tells us that the Holy Spirit does, and that the Word of God does the same thing. Now, we've already read this a few moments ago, that the Holy Spirit indwells in the Christian. How does he indwell? He dwells by the Word of God. That's how he dwells in us. We also see in John 7 through 15, that he convicts and he converts the sinner. How does he do that? How does the Holy Spirit convert the sinner? He does it through the preaching of the Word. What pricked their heart in Acts 2? The Holy Spirit did. How did he do it? You remember in Acts 2 when the Spirit fell upon the disciples? Remember what verse 4 says? They began to speak as the Spirit gave them utterance. And do you remember they marveled that they were able to understand in their own native language the wonderful words of God? And that's why in verse 37, they said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" What provoked that question? What provoked that question from the audience? The preaching of the gospel. The preaching of the gospel that was made known by the baptism of the Holy Spirit upon the apostles. But you remember, and it's important for us to remember, that promise was made to those 12. It was not made to you and it was not made to me. It was made to those 12. That was the comforter that he was going to send. And what would that comforter do according to John 16? It would lead them and guide them into all truth. And that's what it did. They preached that truth, and when that truth was preached, the honest believer obeyed and was converted and convicted of their need for God and the sacrifice of his Son. And so, the Holy Spirit was behind that, but how he accomplishes it is through what he revealed. By what he revealed, that is how he convicts the sinner. In John 3, chapter 6 through 8, and also in Galatians 4, 29, it says that the Holy Spirit begat us. How does he do that? Let's just read one verse. Turn to 1 Peter, chapter 1. First Peter chapter 1. And you can look up these verses later. We're not going to read them all for time's sake, but I do want to look at one so we can get the point. In 1 Peter chapter 1, let me get in 1 Peter here, okay. Verse Peter 1, look at verse 22. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth, look at the next statement. Through the Spirit. Obeying the truth through the Spirit, in sincere love of the brethren, love one another firmly with a pure heart. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the Word of God that lives and abides forever. You have been begotten by the gospel. It is your obedience to that message that enables you to be born again. You remember what Jesus said in John chapter 3? Unless a man is born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. How is one born spiritually? He is born through the Spirit when he listens to the Spirit-revealed Word, and then when he is baptized into water, he has been born through the Spirit and in the water. Spirit and in truth. We need to understand that man is born of water and of Spirit. The Spirit is the revealed message, and our obedience to that command leads us to the water. Why is anybody baptized? Why does anybody believe that they need to do that? Because of the Spirit-revealed Word. What did the Spirit say? Jesus himself said in Mark 16:16, He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not will be condemned. The Spirit-revealed Word commands us to be baptized. It washes away our sin. We've already read 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22, but look at Ephesians 5, verse 26. Now that's the action the Spirit can wash away our sin, but look at Ephesians 5 and verse 26. That he might sanctify, what's that word mean? That means to set apart. And cleanse, that means to purify her with what? With the washing of water by the Word. Do you see that? We're cleansed by the blood of Christ, by the preaching of the Word. I know you can see that. That's why the Bible tells us that we've been justified. That means we've been acquitted by His blood. How do we receive the benefit of the blood? And by the way, how do you even know that the blood has a benefit? How do we even know that? Because we found it in the Spirit-revealed Word in Romans chapter 5 and verse 9. That's why we know it. Reconciles us. In Ephesians chapter 2, the Holy Spirit reconciled both Jew and Gentile, and between the two He made one body. Now how did He accomplish that? How did the Holy Spirit accomplish that? Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Look at verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ, has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us, look at the next statement, the word of reconciliation. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us, imploring you on Christ's behalf to be reconciled to God. What is the ministry of reconciliation? What is the means of reconciliation? It is the message of the gospel. That is the message of reconciliation. Why does man need to be reconciled? Because he's been separated from God by sin. And he needs to be reconciled. He needs to be brought back into fellowship. What gives him the ability to do that? The Holy Spirit does. How does he accomplish it? Through the preaching and the obedience to the message that's preached. In John chapter 6, remember he gave some hard sayings. And some of his disciples left them and followed him no more. And he looked at the disciples and remember, he said, now will you leave me also? But before he made that statement, Notice what he said in verse 63 of the text. Notice what he says here. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. The Spirit gives life. How does he do that? And remember when he said, will you lead me too? Are you going to desert me too? Look at verse 68. But Simon Peter answered and said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have, look at the next word, the words of eternal life. The words of eternal life. You see, the words are life. They're the Holy Spirit driven, and the action is accomplished through the giving of life is by obedience to those words. When one obeys those words, they put themselves in position to receive eternal life. It saves us. Titus 3 talks about the waters of regeneration. And we read Romans 1:16 this morning, that the Word of God has said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So we see that man is saved by the regeneration and the work of the Holy Spirit, but how does he accomplish it? He accomplishes through the Word and obedience to the message of Christ. Man is justified. Remember 1 Corinthians chapter 6? Look at 1 Corinthians 6, verse 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 11. And such were some of you, but you were washed, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. The Holy Spirit justifies. How does He do that? Look at Romans chapter 5, and verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith. Faith in what? Faith in what? So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We're justified by the blood of Christ. But we receive the benefit of the blood of Christ by our obedience to the message that was preached. That's what the Bible teaches. So you see, in all of these actions that the Bible clearly says the Holy Spirit does, they are able to be accomplished through the Word, through the medium of the Word. That's how it's accomplished. Sanctified, same thing. The Holy Spirit sanctifies, it sets us apart. How does He do that? Remember John 17:17? We read it this morning. Sanctify them through Thy Word. Thy Word is truth. The Holy Spirit sanctifies us. How does He do it? Through the Word. It comforts us. In Acts chapter 9, verse 31. In Acts 9, verse 31. Then the churches throughout all of Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and were being edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they were multiplied. And how did the Holy Spirit comfort them? By multiplying them. And you remember when he was talking about the resurrection in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 18? Remember when he said, you that are rest, don't trouble, that he's coming in flame. Remember all that? And you remember what he said at the end of that part of 1 Thessalonians 4? He said, comfort one another with these words. He covers us through the Word. Guides us. He guides us through the Word. He will guide you into all truth. That was what the Holy Spirit would do. How did the Holy Spirit guide people through the truth? Turn to Psalms 119. Look at verse 105. Psalms 119, verses 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. It is a guide. It leads us in the direction. Let me ask you a question. When Philip was sent down to talk to the eunuch, what led the eunuch to the truth? Isaiah 53. But you know what the Bible said in Acts 8:35 that he did? It says he preached Jesus to him. But you know, somewhere in preaching of Jesus, there's baptism. You know how I know that? Because when he saw water, what did he ask? Here is water. What does he need to baptize? Again, what provoked that question? What provoked his inquiry into his need for baptism? Why did he believe he needed that? Because somewhere in the preaching of Jesus, he understood that that was necessary. And so what directed him to the water? The preaching of the Word. I know you can see that. It instructs us. In John chapter 14, he told the disciples that the Spirit would instruct them and bring all things to their mind. And in John chapter 6, remember, he says, from the least to the greatest, all that come to him will be taught of me. Now let me show you what I'm talking about. In the Old Testament, you were a Jew by birth. What did a Jew who was born to Jewish parents, what did he know about God? Nothing. How did he learn it? He had to be instructed. But before you're a member of the spiritual kingdom of God, before you become a member of His kingdom, you have to know. You have to have knowledge prior before you can obey and become part of the New Testament and the New Covenant. Why? Because you must first learn of Him. How do you do that? How do you do that? You do that by the Word. That's how you learn the knowledge. Where are you going to get it? You're going to get it by the Holy Spirit. How is He going to give it to you? Through the preaching of the Word. Through the preaching of the Word. In Romans chapter 5, the Holy Spirit shed light on us. And 1 John chapter 2 and other verses in that chapter demonstrate the same truth. It says He bears witness. John 15:26 says the Spirit will bear witness. Now I want you to turn to John chapter 5. I've always liked this passage, and it's very telling how dishonest the audience that Jesus was talking to really was. Remember, they took great issue with Jesus. And they put their faith in Moses and the law and their relationship to Abraham. But notice the challenge that he gives them in John 5:39. He says, "You search the Scriptures." Now, why do they need to do that? Why do they need to search the Scriptures? Look at what it says. "For in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me." You know what Jesus is saying? He's saying, put me to the test. You don't believe what I'm saying is true? Go look. Go examine the Scriptures. And in that context, he's talking about the Old Testament. He's talking about the Old Law, because they were living under the Old Law, and they thought that their relationship to Abraham, and they thought their relationship with God's people, gave them some certain advantage. But he said, you go look at those Scriptures, you examine them, and you will see that they testify about me. They tell you about me. And so he wasn't afraid for them to look at them, and we have nothing to be afraid. Why do we tell people to examine? Why do we tell people to test? Because we have nothing to be afraid of. Because the Holy Spirit's message will come ringing through in those words. And that's what will give us eternal life. It produces faith. How does a man get faith? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You cannot produce faith in your life without coming in contact with the Word of God. And when you come in contact with the Word of God, that is the work of the Spirit, because He revealed that message. Wisdom is done by the Holy Spirit. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Now that's not on the chart, but after I looked at it, I thought I should have put it up there instead of what's there. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Now, if you want a short commentary, and you want in a nutshell the work of the Holy Spirit, this is it. In 1 Corinthians 2, 9-13. Listen to what Paul wrote to the church of Corinth. "But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him." Now understand something. There's things about God that looking at the stars, looking at the earth, and looking at all of His creation, we can know there's a God, but there's some things that we can't know. There's some things that we don't know. And we don't know because we can't get in the mind of God. And so in verse 10, but God has revealed them to us through His what? Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. What man knows the things of man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, now listen to what he says, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Now what is he saying? He is saying that it is only because God's mind was revealed to us that we know what was in God's mind. I couldn't tell you right now what is in John Sellers' mind. I could give a guess, but I wouldn't know. But if he tells me, then I know for sure. Because he's told me what's on his mind. There's things about God that you and I never would have known unless the Holy Spirit had done His work. How do we know God created the world in 6 days? How do I know that's a fact? Because of the work of the Holy Spirit. How do I know that we're all of the spiritual seed of Abraham? How do I know that? Because of the revealed word. How do I know about the promises made to Abraham? How do I know that? Because the Spirit revealed it to us in Genesis chapter 12. And in Galatians chapter 3, He showed us the fulfillment of that promise. You see, there's nothing that you know spiritually that you could know without the work of the Holy Spirit. You and I would still be in the dark. We would still not know. How do I know that I'm to love my wife as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it? How do I know that I'm supposed to bring my children up and nurture and admonition of the Lord? How do I know that I'm not going to allow the Word to conform me, but I'm to be renewed by the renewing of my mind? How do I know those things? I don't know them by looking at the moon. I don't know them by looking at the earth. And I don't know them because I know there's a God. The only reason I know those truths is because the Holy Spirit revealed them. And when I make application to that, then you know what I've done? The Holy Spirit dwells in me. See how easy that is? It's not hard to understand. If you just open your Bible and you allow the Bible to teach you, you can understand this. Now, what does the Holy Spirit do today that He did not accomplish through the Word? What does He do? In 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. What does that mean? It means it's God-breathed. It means it is God-originated. It originated with God. It didn't originate with man. And the Bible says it gives us doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness. And verse 17 says it perfects us to every good work. Now that's what the Spirit-revealed Word does. Now, in Hebrews 4 and verse 12, for the Word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. For what does the Holy Spirit do today that He does not accomplish through the Word? Name me one thing. Name me anything the Holy Spirit does that He doesn't do through the Word. You know why you're silent? Because there isn't anything. There isn't anything that He does not do through the Word. You see, that's His power. His power is provided through the medium of the Word. That's how it's accomplished. You see, it enters through the mind. Did this only, I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit of the law? How do you learn faith? You've got to put the Word of God in your mind. You cannot produce faith in any other way. You know, I've had people tell me that they receive faith out in the field. You didn't receive faith out in the field. You received faith when you took the Word of God and you put it in your heart and you accepted the truth of it and you obeyed what it taught. That's how you receive the truth. You don't receive it in some miraculous way. You know, I've listened to these so-called witnessing, these so-called testimonies, that they were out in some field and they got down on their knees and the Holy Spirit shined upon them and they understood where they were lost and needed Christ in their life. Don't take this the wrong way. That's hogwash. There's only one way you're going to get it. There's only one way you're going to get it and realize you're lost. There's only one way you're going to see the need for God in your life. And you're going to have to open up the words of the Bible. And you're going to have to let the Spirit talk to you. And you're going to have to let the Spirit reveal to you where you stand before you and God. That's the only way you can do it. You can do it in no other way. But everything else is just wishful thinking. And those verses through the mind, that's in Romans chapter 8. If you read Romans chapter 8, 1 through 8, that's how the Spirit works. He works through your mind. We put the words of the Spirit in our mind. What is that? That's our heart. That's where we think. That's where our intellect is. That's where our ability to reason is. That's where our ability to understand is. And that's why God puts that's why the gospel is aimed at the heart of man. Why? Because that's what motivates him. That's what makes us who we are. That's what makes us make the decisions we make. And that's why the gospel is aimed at the heart of the unbeliever, in order that he might receive the Holy Spirit. It dwells in you in him, and he in you. That's what Romans 8, 9 through 11 said. It kills the deeds of the flesh. How does it kill it? It kills it by us taking those things out of our life. And you know what Colossians calls that? It says mortified, put to death. What does that mean? That means to put away. That's how it's accomplished. It enters, it dwells, and it kills. And I want you to turn to Romans chapter 8, and I want you to look at verse 14. Here's a passage that I've had quoted to me all my life. I was in a study a number of years ago with a Christian preacher and five members of their congregation and another member of the church. And they could not believe that I don't allow the Holy Spirit to lead me. They said, here's your problem, Mr. Greer. You can't fully understand the truth because you're trying to understand it all by yourself. You've got to let the Spirit lead you. And they quoted me this passage. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 14 it says, for as many of us that are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Now, brethren, how does the Spirit lead me? How does He lead me? Is He this little ghost that walks down in front of me and then I follow Him where He shows me to go? No. He leads me through the Word. Let me give you an illustration. If I raise my children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, could I say that I am walking by the Spirit? Yes, I can say that. Because who revealed that truth to me? The Word of God did. Who revealed the mind of God according to 1 Corinthians chapter 2? The Holy Spirit. You see, the Spirit leads me as I follow His revelation. And as long as I follow that revelation, it is a correct statement to say that you lead a Spirit-led life. And you know what? It's just as true that if you don't follow His teaching, that the Holy Spirit doesn't dwell in you. That's a true statement too. If I don't follow His teaching, then I am not Spirit-led. Then He doesn't dwell in me. And that's unacceptable to God. He assures me. He bears witness. When it says our spirit, it bears witness with the Spirit. How does my spirit bear witness with the Holy Spirit? When I do the thing that the Holy Spirit says, then my spirit, my inner man, bears witness of the truth of what the Spirit revealed, because what He revealed, I am doing. And therefore, my spirit is bearing witness of God's Spirit. Brethren, that's how it happens. The Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. My inner spirit, the one that makes the decisions in my life, the one that chooses, the one that discerns, the one that understands, the one that reasons, the one that makes choices in my life. My choices bear witness of my relationship with the Holy Spirit. When I am following the precepts and the teachings of the Holy Spirit, my spirit is bearing witness of His Spirit. Now that's what it means. It means no more and it means no less. We suffer with Him that we may also be glorified together. That's what the Spirit revealed to us. The Holy Spirit bears witness with our human spirit. It's when we are both on the same page, when we are both doing the same thing. Here's what I'm talking about. The Holy Spirit bears witness in the Scripture. Did He tell me that I needed to do this? You see those passages up there? Those are Spirit-revealed truths that are taught in God's Word. When I obey those truths, when I apply and make application of those truths that have come from the Word of God, as the Holy Spirit revealed unto man, is bearing witness, and when I obey them, I have done those things, my spirit is bearing witness of His Spirit. Do you see that? By what He revealed, I do. And therefore, you know what that means? The Holy Spirit's witness and my witness are parallel. Do you see that? The Holy Spirit's not telling me one thing and I'm doing another thing. I'm doing exactly what the Holy Spirit directed me to do through the Word of God. When I obey the gospel of Christ, the Holy Spirit bore testimony of that truth. And when I do those things, then my spirit, bears witness of His Spirit. That's how it's accomplished. That is how it's accomplished. And you know what? Now, is there some work of the Holy Spirit difficult to comprehend? Yes. Here is one of them. In Romans 8:26. It says, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now, there is a way that the Spirit is an intercessor. He intercesses because He knows the mind, and He can do that because He's God. Remember, He's one of the three that's God. And so He makes intercession for us. We go to other passages that tell us that Christ is also our intercessor. We're told He's our mediator in 1 Timothy 2:5. We're told that there is none other. And so He has a work of intercession. But understand this. His work does not change our will. He cannot change one thing that we determine and choose to do. The Holy Spirit can't do that. That is beyond His ability. Because that would violate our free will. And so that is up to us. In verse 27, same book, it says, now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints. Now listen to the last part. The last part is what is needed. According to the will of God. The Spirit is never going to violate God's will. Ever. But can I violate God's will? Do I have the ability to violate God's will in my life? Yes. But the Holy Spirit will never violate God's will. Why? Because He will always be in total harmony with what God's will is. Why? You remember what we talked about this morning? He works in unison with the Father and the Son. They work in complete harmony. You don't have the Father pitted against the Son or the Son pitted against the Holy Spirit. They all do the same work according to the will of God. And when I line up with that work as revealed in the Scripture, then the Holy Spirit is working through me by my applying the truth that He reveals. The brethren, we need to understand, and we're going to stop here, we need to understand to not make this more complicated than it needs to be. The Holy Spirit's work is of utmost importance in our lives. We would not be where we're at, and we would not have the hope of heaven, and we would not know how to live our life here on earth if it was not for the revealing work of the Holy Spirit. I say that to say this, that His work will be in vain in our lives if we don't make application to the truth that He taught. If we don't take that word and we don't make the application in our lives, then His work will mean nothing in our lives. He revealed that word in order that we might make good decisions and choices that would put us and maintain us in a relationship with Christ. And when we choose not to do that, then we're not being led by the Spirit. And if we do not follow that word, then we are not in the Spirit. And if we are not in the Spirit, and we're not leading, and we're not allowing the Spirit to lead us, here's the question. What is leading us? What is leading us? If I'm not allowing the Spirit-revealed word to lead me, what is leading me? Whatever it is not going to put me in a relationship with God. Whatever is leading me other than the Word of God cannot lead me into a relationship with God. And brethren, the only way that the Holy Spirit directs a person, leads him, guides him, and orders him to be able to make the decisions that are pleasing to God is through the medium of the revealed Word. If you want to know what the Spirit says, you remember in Revelation? You remember when He wrote the seven churches of Asia? Do you remember how He closed each letter? Do you remember what He said? He said, let the churches hear what? Hear the Spirit. How do they hear the Spirit? They hear what He revealed. They hear what He revealed. And so if you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, then the Spirit revealed word has told you what you need to do. To hear the word of God, to believe it, to repent, to confess, and to be baptized. That is the Spirit's message. If you want to be led by the Spirit, that is the Spirit's message. Now you have the right to reject that message. You don't have to believe it. You can reject it. And can you reject the Spirit? Well, the Bible says, what did they do? What did Stephen accuse those in Acts chapter 7 of doing? He says, you do resist the Holy Spirit just like your forefathers did. How did their forefathers reject the Holy Spirit? By rejecting the prophets that God sent them. How does a man reject the Holy Spirit today? Reject the message that the Holy Spirit revealed. You are rejecting the Spirit. You have the ability to do that, but you also understand that if you do that, you must accept the consequences that come with that. And that is separation from God. If you're here and you are a Christian and you're not allowing Christ to continue to lead you by the Spirit, it's because you're not continuing to following His direction. And you're not following His direction because you're not following His Word. And if you're not following His Word, then you're out of step and your sin again has separated you from God. And you need to repent, you need to acknowledge your sin, and you need to pray and ask God to forgive you. And we're told in the Spirit-revealed Word in 1 John 1 verse 9, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us. If we can help you to live your life by the Holy Spirit, if we can allow the Spirit to lead you to do what you need to do, we bid you come forward. As together we stand and sing.